Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. Let's do an opponent preview. Let's talk about the Texas Longhorns with Joe Cook from InsideTexas.com. That's the On3 website covering the Longhorns. And we'll just start with the biggest picture question we can with this team. You know, preseason, what, number one, number two, depending on what poll you looked at. A lot of preseason hype. They've been good. They've won some games, but they have not been where you thought they were going to be back in August. What's the single thing keeping this team from achieving where they thought they could be at this point?
Right now, it's the offensive line. The whole time, kind of in the preseason, I'd been saying, you know, if you're replacing four starters, three who went to the NFL, if you have options that are either third or fourth year players, or the one other example is a top 50 player from, you know, being a second year sophomore, it's a pretty good situation. Has not been good at all. It hadn't come together like Texas has wanted. They've had a rotating door at left guard. They have an injury at center. We're trying to, you know, figure out what that timetable looks like for his return. And they've not run blocked well. They've not protected well. So everything kind of falls from that. Arch Manning has, you know, when he's had time, he's been inconsistent. And inconsistent in a way that I think was shocking to a lot of people. And so a lot of the criticism he gets is deserved. A lot of the criticism that goes all the way to bust and flop, I think, is way too early. But he's not been good. He has not been put in good situations, nor has he really made a lot of the throws himself. You'll see some wow throws, but then you'll see just some like, man, that was an open receiver. What are you doing? So at least on offense, they're struggling to do much of anything because that offensive line isn't giving a lot of time. Can't run as well as they'd like, can't pass as well as they'd like. And that's why Texas is winning its games with defense and over the last couple weeks, special teams.
I really thought that win over Oklahoma might be a spark for this Texas team. But then they went to Kentucky, and let's just be honest, you know, on paper, it looks like they lost the game. If you just look at the box score, you would never believe Texas won that game. What happened at Kentucky? And is this team different on the – I mean, the Oklahoma game is a neutral site game. But is this team just that different away from home?
It really feels like it. You know, that Ohio State game, it felt all right just because, you know, both those teams are kind of feeling each other out, seeing what they're doing in a new season after so much NFL turnover. But as the year has gone on, Texas' just inability to run the ball just makes everything go in the opposite direction. Their running back, Quintravian Wisner, real workhorse, but he doesn't really have any like physical gifts, kind of gets what's blocked. And if it's not blocked well, he's not someone who can take that and turn it into positive yardage. And, you know, those outside running schemes that they tried against Oklahoma to move that picture on a stout defensive front just wasn't working and wasn't really even tried against Kentucky. So obviously, you know, there were a lot of people who made jokes about like, you know, welcome to a one possession game at Kentucky. You know, now you're an SEC member. and that's, you know, that's kind of what they try to do. They try to limit opponent possessions. Kentucky had the ball for almost 40 minutes. And you know, made the most of a handful of opportunities, especially at the end. But it really just has come down to Texas does not have an offensive line that you'd expect a program like the Longhorns to have in year five with the same head coach and play caller, the same offensive line coach, offensive coordinator, a lot of same players on staff or same coaches on staff, and with players who, again, had been in the program. So it's hard to see what their identity is on offense at this point. And like I wanted to say, like Arch Manning is not blameless in this. He does make some great throws, but he also just makes some inexplicable throws. And it's not necessarily bad decision-making, but just like, man, you missed an open guy. Like, how does that happen?
Are you at the point with this Texas team where you just say they are what they are, or do you think there is still a ceiling that they could hit and they could become this team that we all thought they were going to be back in June and July?
Yeah, it's hard to think that they're going to get much better on offense. It's not like they're starting a true freshman at left guard, and again, they have their backup center playing these days. So it's not like all of a sudden those guys are just going to flip the switch and be like, "Oh yeah, I'm good at pass blocking and run blocking now." Offensively, it's going to be volatile. You know, they have struggled to run the football against like talent. You know, not only just in the SEC, but even against some of their out of conference and playoff opponents. There's some, you know, you can't take away one big rush, but there are a few rushing totals that are buoyed by one big rush. They're not even getting that this year. So on offense, you know, they're going to try still to run the ball because Steve Sarkisian's not just an aired out spread passing guy, for better or worse, and it's gone worse this year. I don't see them getting better, but I do see, you know, there's going to be some marked improvement just as a season goes on. If that's enough to really, you know, not marked improvement, but it's guys getting in a rhythm, I guess. Is it going to be enough to help them get through this, you know, the rest of this schedule? Because after they play Mississippi State on the road, something they haven't done since 1991, and so they've never done it in front of all the cowbells. Then they got to play a really good Vanderbilt team at home, finally get a break. Have to limit Arkansas's offense. I think they have to play Georgia in Athens before that, and then Texas A&M comes to town. So, like it's either gonna all the games are gonna be ugly. I'm just expecting the under to cash and slogs to play out over and over for Texas.
When you have a five-game stretch like that, we have a term for that. It's called welcome to the SEC. We all know about it down here. Defensively, this team is very good, though. And then they, like, so they've been winning games with defense. Mississippi State, if you've watched them at all, you know that protecting the quarterback has been an issue for them. Is Texas's defensive line going to have a great day in Starkville on Saturday?
That's their hope. The defensive tackles may not be guys who rack up big stats, but Hero Canoe, Alex January, they've done everything they've needed to do over the past, you know, few weeks. Cole Brevard and I think maybe Travis Shaw, they're kind of the 1B wave of defensive tackles. They were there making that stop in overtime against Kentucky. So, and then that doesn't even talk about the pass rushers. Colin Simmons has really come on of late. I think he's got five sacks or almost five sacks in the past two games. Lance Jackson, a true freshman, has really started to play fantastic football. He's not in the starting lineup quite yet, but he's doing enough to where you wonder if that's, you know, coming really soon. The linebackers have been quality. Anthony Hill's making plays, not doing as much as a pass rusher, but a little bit of that is just by how he's deployed because he's so athletic and he's playing high-level football. And then the safeties are really just the backbone of this defense. Michael Taft and Jelani McDonald were on the field for over 80 plays at Kentucky. And it's not like they have, you know, slouches behind them, but it just proves how important they are. Those guys have made sure that explosive plays have not really hurt Texas all that much this year. And they just are guys getting everything coordinated there on the back end. And they've done it against some tempo teams. I know Mississippi State with Jeff Lebby's system, they like to go fast. It didn't play out that way last year, but you know, that's kind of a first year thing when you're overmatched. I don't think they probably look at this game and think, okay, we are not as overmatched as we were last year. Still might be, but it's probably a lot more even than it was. They probably anticipate that with Blake Chapin and with guys like Brennan Thompson on the outside, and you know, depending on what they get from the running back position, they can run a little bit more of their regular offense, use that tempo, and really put pressure on Texas.
Yeah, you look back a year ago, that was Michael Van Buren's first start of the season after the Chapin injury and going on the road to Texas. I think Lebby did, in fact, really slow things down. In that one, we would be remiss to not mention the fact that Arch Manning is a Manning, and the Manning name in the state of Mississippi, especially around Mississippi State, is not the most popular one. Well, we'll just put it that way. Archie with a win here. Eli won a game here. Peyton played here, but never won a game against Mississippi State in Starkville. Has there been any talk with Arch about the family history and with the Bulldogs and along those lines?
There wasn't much this past week, and it's kind of unfortunate in that way because if you're just playing a little bit above average, I guess, like that's something you can talk about with, hey, what did grandpa tell you about this game? And you know, what did your uncles tell you about playing here? And you know, what's this mean to your family? And he does get those questions, But I think Arch really tries to be like, yeah, I mean, I talk to my uncles every now and then and my grandpa, but like I'm with my teammates, and sometimes we forget about that. He's not calling necessarily calling Cooper. He's calling Dad. So there's some of that that's overblown. We haven't really gotten to hear much from that direction or about that this week. He did talk a little bit on Monday, and he honestly did not put forth the best body language post game in Lexington. And this is probably the most difficult stretch of football he's ever had to go through. And I know whatever, Isidore Newman, they had tough games, but this is kind of the first time Arch Manning is probably dealing with failure as a starting quarterback. This is an important moment for him. It's another road game. He finally notched his first road win last week against Kentucky, but it wasn't much because of what he did. So, more so than the family history aspect, I think it's just Mississippi State's next opponent, and this is where he's got to prove that, he is better than what he's shown this year, or else some of the negative narratives are looking more and more correct.
There's something we do on the podcast when we preview these games. We give an offensive playmaker, a defensive playmaker, and then we do an X factor. That's a guy that maybe he just makes a play or two, but they're big plays within the course of the game. For Texas in this game, who's somebody you could see being an X factor for them?
Over the past few games, it's been Ryan Niblett, number 21. He plays a, kind of hybrid running back wide receiver role. So some of his touches on offense are telegraphed. But he has been basically, he has either scored or produced scoring opportunities for Texas in the punt return game. He had that 75-yard return for a touchdown against Oklahoma that's iced the game. He had two, I think, 40-ish yard returns against Kentucky, one that set up Texas' only touchdown, the other one that put them in position to kick a go-ahead field goal late, I believe. So that's someone who they're going to have continue to play well. Like I said, when you see number 21 on offense, it's not usually because he's a decoy. They're trying to reward him with touches, but everybody knows what's happening when everybody knows that they're trying to reward him with touches. But keep an eye on him in the punt return game, because that's where Texas has found some good opportunities lately.
We'll see what Saturday brings. It's a very interesting game as State tries to break this SEC losing streak, and for Texas trying to keep their college football playoff hopes alive. We'll talk about it more then. Joe Cook, InsideTexas.com, man. Appreciate your time. Safe travels here to Mississippi.
Absolutely. Thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.